Good morning. It is 7:49 and you are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, August 1st, 2012. I'm Holly Keene and this is Raven News. Southeast Alaska's commercial troll fleet came up well short of the targeted catch of king salmon in a 9-day opening early in July. The target number was over 98,000 Chinook in the first summer opening, July 1st through the 9th. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game says the actual catch was just over 61,000. Fish and Game regional troll biologist Patty Scannis says catch rates dropped off after the first week of fishing.
When people came in after their first trip, the averages were really pretty high. They were averaging at least 20 per boat per day. And by the time they came in with a second trip, it went down to maybe 15 or 16 per boat per day on the average. And then it seemed to drop off pretty steeply after that. We heard some reports, but we didn't have a lot of landings until it was all over to indicate just how much it did drop.
As catch rates dropped, so did the number of trawlers out fishing. Scannis says quite a few permit holders did not fish the full 9-day opening.
Some quit early because their catch rates fell. Others left and went to Target Chum and West Beam Canal. And still others, I think, just decided it wasn't, you know, worth staying out and maybe switch to a different sort of fishery.
Trawlers have flocked to West Beam Canal near Ketchikan, chasing hatchery chums produced by the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association. The troll harvest there in late July totaled 300,000 dogs, with the fleet averaging 150 chum per landing. Average troll prices this summer are $3.48 a pound for king salmon, $1.36 for coho, and 82 cents a pound for chum. Scannis says trolling fishing for coho has started out well.
Catch rates are above average, and the fish are small, but they're reported to be of very good quality. We've had a lot of reports of a good supply of feed. People report a lot of needlefish. I think it's going to be a good coho year.
Fish and Game is projecting the troll fleet will catch 2.1 million wild coho this summer and projects Southeast's overall return will hit 3.8 million silvers. Trolling will close sometime next month to allow cohos to make it back to the streams on the inside waters. Then Fish and Game will have another king opening targeting the remaining wild kings allowed under the Pacific Salmon Treaty with Canada. The key to addictive comics is in the writing, not the art. That's how comic book creator Sam Alden views his craft, even though he may be on his way to becoming a top illustrator. Alden is a 2012 graduate of Whitman College who is spending his summer in Southeast Alaska as a Sitka Fellow in a new program on the Sheldon Jackson campus. He hopes to use his 7-week residency to fully develop an idea for his latest work, a graphic novel entitled Eighth Grade. He spoke with KCAW's Robert Woolsey.
Although we usually talk about choice as a luxury, for some recent college graduates it can be a burden. Job hunting, grad school, marriage. Not so for Sam Alden.
Some of my very earliest art was comics. You know, that before I could even write, I would draw pictures and then make my parents write the captions on the side. So I wanted to be a cartoonist from day one.
Alden's mother was a children's book author and illustrator. His father, a childhood psychiatrist. He grew up in Portland and attributes much of his career direction and success to them. Alden's first project as a person out in the real world is a look back.
For me personally, eighth grade had this real sense of finality to it because it was my first big graduation, before high school or college or anything like that. And so it really felt like the end of the world.
Alden has completed the first chapter of his graphic novel, Eighth Grade, and hopes to complete another in Sitka. He says the book will be dark and foul-mouthed, a lens for a primarily grown-up audience to view the sometimes trauma and always drama of adolescence. Who hasn't been here?
You'd go to somebody's parents' basement, and there'd be like 5 pineapple Canadian bacon pizzas against a table that nobody really wanted to eat, and the boys would all be on one side, sort of pretending not to care, and the girls would all have dressed up, and they'd be all in a huddle on the other side, and no one would be dancing, and the music would be way too loud, and from a few years ago, because nobody knew how to DJ parties, and And you just stand there for hours and hours and be miserable.
An illustration he did for his college radio station has characters that Alden will also use in eighth grade, a tall girl and a much shorter boy awkwardly dancing at arm's length while a crowd of other kids leers at them in the background. The drawing captures the contradiction of what should be a pleasant moment. Alden says this is the hardest part of his work.
The facial expressions are always what kill me. That's always what I spend an hour on, is trying to convey what somebody's feeling and also what they're trying to project. You have to show that they're trying to smile, but that there's some instinct in them that tells them not to, or vice versa.
During his time at Whitman, Alden says he was basically the art director for everything. He also started building a professional portfolio, illustrating the credits for an upcoming independent film and working as the official illustrator for an international menswear fashion show. Alden says he goes back and forth about whether attending a small liberal arts college was the right choice for him rather than art school. In the end, though, he says his college English classes did more to inform his career in comics than the study of art.
Comics is also a field that's really open to people who aren't that amazing at drawing. You know, you can do a really good comic just with the doodles that you might do in the margins of your notebook, you know, or on a yellow sticky note while you're talking on the phone. I think writing is so much more important. That's what gets you addicted to comics.
Eighth grade is still a long way from publication. In the meantime, Alden says he tries to post something just about every day to his blog at Gingerland Comics on Blogspot. Alden is one of 8 Sitka fellows living in the community this summer. The program runs through August 31st. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The Alaska Energy Authority this summer is releasing the final version of a million-dollar plan for energy in Southeast. A contracting company drafted the planning document with input from a 22-member working group. However, recommendations in the plan met with criticism and opposition this year. Joe Vicknicki reports.
The Southeast Alaska Integrated Resource Plan aims to show what energy resources can be developed to meet electricity and heating needs for Southeast's homes, offices, and businesses. The plan says the region is at a historic crossroad for energy generation. It recommends a mix of preferred projects and energy conservation, as well as wood pellet and biomass heating. Jim Strandberg is AEA's project manager for the plan.
The key aspect of this is that we did view of the heating energy requirements for the region, as well as the electrical energy, and to somewhat of a lesser extent, but it is still there, the transportation, the potential use of the electric vehicles. And I do feel that a coordinated treatment of those three parts are one of the real strengths of this plan.
The document notes a gap between larger communities with available cheap hydroelectric power and those communities in the region forced to run costly diesel generators. It calls recent conversions to electrical space heating the Achilles heel of the existing hydro system, with recommendations for more hydro storage projects. The consultants, engineering and construction company Black & Veatch, found that a region-wide transmission system does not make sense to build at this time, including a connection across the border into Canada. Members of the plan's advisory working group and members of the public faulted the draft plan during a public comment period this spring. Some called the document fatally flawed because they said it did not anticipate new development or make room for future growth in the region. Many in the region say that the state and private companies can fund and build more hydro plants and transmission lines to keep up with increasing demand. Others wanted to see more focus on existing clean technology like heat pumps or pursuit of wind, geothermal, and tidal projects. Working group member Robert Venables of Haines says the planning document is not the final word and the planning process is not done.
And that's where some people, I think, really kind of mischaracterized or misunderstood. You know, including myself, many of us really thought that this was going to be the answer moving forward. And I think it really opened our eyes up to the work that has yet to be done in order so we can really better identify the next projects and where we need to focus our attentions and efforts to better plan for our energy security and needs going forward.
The document recommends a two-phased approach. The first 5 years would see pursuit of several projects, namely transmission line connections to Cake and Metlakatla, and new or expanded hydro in Sitka, Angoon, Heidelberg, and Hoonah. Phase 1 recommendations would also mean energy-saving measures to slow the growing demand for hydropower and speed conversions to biomass heating. The second phase would mean more planning to identify new hydro and other renewable projects to pursue. Venables, who's the energy coordinator for Southeast Conference, emphasizes that additional work that needs to happen.
There's a couple key findings within the report that we really need to encourage AEA and the stakeholders of the region to continue to work on, so we can better understand not only the loads that are on the horizon, but the resources that best meet those loads.
Venables calls the AEA's outreach in drafting the plan comprehensive, and he praises the input collected from Southeast communities as well as diverse viewpoints of the advisory working group. The completed document is comprised of three sections, a revised executive summary, detailed analysis of public comment, and a section that corrects mistakes in the draft plan.
I don't think it's worth the paper it's printed on.
That's Republican State Senator Bert Stedman of Sitka. He's co-chairman of the Senate's Finance Committee and drafts the Senate's version of the state's capital budget.
My concern is it pushes the Southeast in the wrong direction, and that is to back up energy source of pellets. And our energy source needs to be hydro, backed up by LNG. And if we were to take that same solution to Fairbanks for their energy needs, they would throw it in the shredder. And if we took it to Anchorage, and the Anchorage colleagues I have in Juneau, when I bring it up to them, they just laugh.
And that's all for Raven News. If you missed any of our stories or'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And stay tuned for NPR's headlines. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.